15, in Luke chapter 15, it's hard for me to get through three or four verses, but I'm going to try to take this whole chapter today, so y'all might be here for a little later today, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock this evening, I don't know, we might get through, but anyway, we appreciate you here today, and this chapter 15 is, most people has read this and knows this chapter about these three parables that you have heard preached on, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And I've titled this message this morning because Jesus lives in me. And test for us this morning, does Jesus Christ live in you? If you are saved this morning, the Holy Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, lives in you today from the time that you got saved. Now, Jesus Christ lives in us. We should be able to see the world through the eyes of Jesus if you're saved today. If you're not saved today, the Holy Spirit of God will be talking to you about your salvation, I can assure you. You ought to see the people of the world as Jesus Christ saw the people of the world. We should use his eyes, use his feet. We should use our body to the service and the worship of Jesus Christ. And we just thank the Lord today that we have the Spirit that lives within us. It's such a blessing on this side of Calvary. And know that we have the Spirit living in us. We know the Holy Spirit come upon people in the Old Testament to do what God called them to do for that purpose. But we know in the New Testament the Spirit of God come to live within us. And he will never leave us. In fact, whenever we breathe our last breath, we got somebody that knows the way to heaven because it came from heaven. And it winged its way back to heaven carrying the soul and the spirit with him. So we thank the Lord so much for that. Christ lives in me, and the test is today. So read these verses of scriptures, and we see this morning, and I'll be taking this chapter as one parable. I know that you've heard it preached in three different parables, but the Bible says it's a singular parable, and I hope that we get the whole focus of this chapter, of this parable, because it shows us the sinful nature of man. And did you know that we have a sinful nature? All of us understand that. We all have a sinful nature, a fallen nature, but then it shows us a saving nature of God, the saving nature of God. I see that word is misspelled there, Ms. Joyce, on that part, but anyway, they know what it means anyway. But the nature of God. Now, the weakness of man without God, it shows us as a lost sheep. The worthlessness of man without God, it shows us as a lost coin. And also, the wretchedness of man without God showed us the prodigal son this day. And then all three of these, the saving nature of God, the receiving nature of the Jesus Christ receives the sheep back, revealing nature of the Holy Spirit of God as the lost coin, also the receiving nature of God the Father receiving his son back by his side. That's what this will be today. Most of the time, I don't get too far in my point, so I'm just going to tell you ahead of time, maybe that you'll understand these parables as a parable in one. It says in verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1, "Then draw near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke this parable, singular unto them, saying," let us pray. Father Jesus, we just pray, God, that you might enlighten us this hour to see our sinful nature, to see your saving grace today. Father, we just pray that we might be able to understand and to see the world of people clear today through the eyes of Jesus Christ, how many, many people need to be saved, not just to know about Jesus Christ, but see the evidence on their life that they see people, and Lord, they will help people come to know you as their Lord and Savior before it's too late. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you for the Word of God and the illuminating Spirit of God to our heart and our mind that we might see and understand. Father, we know it's not me, it's doing the speaking. I pray, God, that you might speak through me, Father. So we want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings that, Father, you have revealed in your word this day. God, for those that are sick on our prayer list and those that are going in the hospital, Lord, we pray a special blessing upon them. But most of all, for those without Jesus Christ today in the world, our friends, our family, our loved ones, around us that needs Jesus Christ. May, Lord, this stir our hearts that we might help that person find their way back home. Father, we want to thank you and bless you, Father, for the far saints of the service, what you're going to do for us today. And we thank you and we praise the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Publican as like tax collectors as a day, they weren't thought of too much then. They're not still not thought of too much today. And they was kind of the upper crust. But the sinners, we find out today, the Pharisees and the scribes are the upper crust. But the collectors and the sinners, they was kind of the down and out. And then it says there in verse 2, the scribes began to murmur about things. The scribes and the Pharisees, they was the upper crust, but they began to criticize Jesus. They were the one with the upper crust, and they was criticizing Jesus Christ. Why was they criticizing him for? For receiving and eating with sinners. Well, thank you, Lord, that you still do that today. Thank you, Lord, that he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, Jesus Christ answered them when they asked him, why does he do this? Why does he spend time with sinners? Why does he spend time taking up so much time with those poor people and those sinners? And Jesus Christ answered them in this parable. This parable is a parable of one, but it is in three parts: a lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Singular today. If Jesus Christ lives in you, this parable tells us how that we should see this world of people this day. We get so caught up in our own lives, we forget about the people around us. We may be saved, and if we're saved today, we forget about those people that's lost. But I pray today that you might see what we really need to be seeing in the eyes of Jesus Christ and see the sinful nature of man and the saving nature of God, because that's the reason that you're here today. That's the reason that you're going to heaven when you die. That's the reason that God has blessed you with such great blessing, because you was a sinful person. That's by nature and by birth and by choice. And then we find the saving nature of God saved you and made you what you are. Every one of us here today, if we were the righteous of Jesus Christ, it's certainly not our righteousness, but what Christ Jesus gave to each and every one of us today. There's none of us good, no, not one. This parable reveals the sinful nature, now of each and every one of us today. Verses 4 through 7 of the same chapter. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends, neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 of the just person which needs no repentance. First of all, of these lost sheep, we see the weakness of mankind without God. The weakness of mankind without God in this sheep. You know what sheep are? You know they are just dumb animals. You cannot train a sheep. You can train a dog. You can train a cat. You can train a horse. You may train a seal, but you cannot train a sheep. They're just dumb animals. God shows us our need for him in this illustration of sheep. Isaiah 53:6 says, we are all like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all. Sheep cannot find their way home. Sheep are just dumb animals. When people are lost, they cannot find their way to God. They're not looking for God. Sheep are just dumb animals. A dog, you can carry a dog off 20 miles and a dog will find his way back home. A cat will find his way back home. I remember whenever I was a young boy, there was no fence law. A lot of you don't know what that's talking about. But a lot of farmers had cows, and they had a lead cow with a bell on her neck, that old lead cow. They might be 10 miles, 15, they may be 20 miles away, but that old lead cow began to come home. When that lead cow began to come home and that bell began to rattle, the whole herd come with that cow back home. They knew their way back home. They can find their way back home. Also, I've been watching television. You're already watching the television, old Gunsmoke. I've watched every one of those series 10 times apiece. I can tell you what happened on every one of them. Here's old Doc out there in the prairie now. He's been out there doctoring a house out there all night long. And he's been doctoring, you know, and he's getting sleepy and tired. Next morning, he's fixed to go back to Dodge City. He's sleepy. He just kind of gets in his old buggy, and he tells the horse, let's go. Go back home. Then he lays back in his buggy, and that old horse just carries him all the way back to Dodge City. You know, a horse knows the way home. But I'm telling you, sheep don't know the way home. Sheep get lost. and they got to have somebody to help them. Sheep dependence on us. We find out in Romans 3:11, it says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeking after God. I don't care how intelligent people are, how brilliant they are, they don't understand the spiritual needs that they have today. Look at the people today in this world that do not understand the spiritual need because they're just dependents. None that seeketh after God, no person is lost, seeks after God. No matter how rich, no matter how intelligent they are, they do not seek after God. That's the reason Jesus Christ called Nicodemus. He was a very rich man. He was a very educated man. He was a very religious man. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He could not understand how that he could be born the second time. Why? With all of his intelligence and all of his religious, he could not understand how a man could be born again. He says, you must be born from above. He could not understand the spiritual of that part. Sheep are dependents. They need someone to take care of them. Matthew 9:36, it says, Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Sheep needs a shepherd. In Philip Keller, one of the greatest books I've read on Psalm 23, he tells us all about sheep. You need to get that book. I'm going to tell you, it's a very, very interesting book because he heard sheep, he knew about sheep, and he talked about a cast sheep. I never heard about a cast sheep. I didn't know much about sheep. So I've never been a sheep herder, but I've read about them. And this cast sheep is a sheep that maybe get some grass here and get some grass over there, and they just fill up, and they begin to lay down and chew the cud like you see cows. And if that sheep don't lay down on flat land, happen to be a little bit of slope, and where most sheep is, they are on a kind of on a mountain, and that sheep can just roll over on its back, and it rolls up over on its back, the gas inside their stomach begins to swell up, and all you see is 4 feet sticking up, and that sheep would die in that position and cannot roll back over. It's called a cast sheep. And that's whenever the sheep comes home, when the shepherd go gets them, and they go in through that sheepfold, he begins to count his sheep. And there's 99 of them. They're supposed to be 100. And then what does that shepherd do? He goes back out and he finds that sheep. He looks for that sheep. No matter where it's at, he has to find that sheep because he knows the coyotes, he knows the wolves, he knows the vultures is there after him. Sheep are very, very dependent. They need this, but they are defenseless also. They have no equipment for fighting. You see, a horse can bite you and can kick you, and a dog can bite you, and a cat can scratch you. And you know what a skunk does? Anyway, sheep have no defense whatsoever. They at the mercy of the animals. They at the mercy of the old devil, the devil's wolves, and the devil's coyotes, and the devil's vultures. That's exactly where you and I was at before Jesus saved us. We was at the very mercy of Satan. Do you think Satan has any mercy? No, he has his coyotes after us. Jesus Christ says, and you know why he keeps company with people? Because he say, they need me. They need me. So you find out to start with the weakness of man without God. We're like sheep. But then you know the worthlessness of man without God is like this lost coin. 8:9-10 it says, either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently until she finds it. And when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found this piece which was lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repents. Now, you find out, this coin she's talking about. Man's lost like a coin. Now, a coin is lost, is out of circulation. That means it's out of circulation. You know, God made every mankind in the image of God, made mankind to worship Jesus Christ, to worship God, to give him honor and glory for allowing him to be on the face of this earth. Everybody, do you worship God? This is the place that we come to worship. Do you worship God? God's made all mankind to worship God, no matter who you are. I'm going to tell you, there ought not be enough of churches in this county or this community to fill up what people ought to do, what they should do towards God and to worship him. You are a coin made. But now if a coin is not circulating, it's out of circulation, it is absolutely worthless today. A coin out of circulation. Because a coin was made to be spent. It was made to be treasured. It was made to be valued. But you see, if it's lost, it is worthless to the owner. No matter how valuable that corn might be and may have been made, on the ocean floor, which is the most valuable, a $100 gold piece or a nickel? They're the same value if they're out of circulation on the ocean floor, at the same value. Romans says, unsaved man, they're all to the other become unprofitable. Anybody that's lost and not serving Jesus Christ as God made them for, they are unprofitable to God. Every person. I was unprofitable. You was unprofitable. If you're not worshiping, serving God, you are unprofitable to God. He says they have become unprofitable. God made us for his purpose. He wants us to be in circulation, to be spent for him, for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, he deserves your glory. I mean, your honor to give him the glory that he deserves. Each and every mankind on the face of this earth needs to worship at Jesus Christ. But you see, you find out that they're worthless because this corn was out of circulation. And it was lost in darkness. Now, as lost in darkness, what she done, she says she lit a candle because it was lost in darkness. The darkness without Jesus Christ. Yes, every one of us was in darkness without Jesus Christ. That lost person is in darkness without Jesus Christ. Cannot see the things that person need to see. Lost in darkness, she lit a candle because, you see, sin had blinded that person. Jesus Christ says they hate the light and will not come to the light because the light... Because their deeds were evil. They don't want to come to the light. Why is it you think it's so hard to get people to come and to worship God and to hear the word of God and to hear the sing and hear the praise today and hear the prayers today of God's people amongst all the houses of God upon this nation today that's meeting on Sunday today? Why is it so hard to get people to come? Jesus Christ said in his precious word, they hate the light. There's light shining here today. It's not just coming from these things. It's coming from the Word of God. It's coming from the Spirit of God. They hate the light and will not come to the light. They don't want to be exposed in their darkness and sin. They don't want nobody to tell them. They don't want to hear about their sin. They hate the light, they said. He says their deeds are evil. So why is it so hard? Because they hate this light. It was lost in darkness. Also, it was lost in dirtiness. It says she got a broom and she began to sweep the house, to stir around the dirt. You know, all sin is filth. All sin is filth. There's high-class sin and there's low-class sin, but all sin is filth. The Bible says all of our righteousness are filthy rags in God's sight. Now, the worst form, I like old Adrian Rogers, he's done dead and gone on, but I like what old Adrian Rogers said. The worst form of badness is human goodness when that human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth. Did y'all get that? The worst form of badness is human goodness when that human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth. When you think that you're good enough to be saved, you think that you're good enough, that's the worst form of badness when it substitutes the new birth. Everybody needs to be saved. But find out something else about this lost corn. It was lost in disgrace. There was 10 pieces of silver. This thing that she had here was something that she wore upon her head. Now, 7 in the Bible is perfection. 10 is completion. Now, there's something that needs to have completion that did not have completion. There was something she wore around her head like an engagement ring. There was 10 pieces of coin that she wore around her head as an engagement ring, as a wedding ring. It was a token to her husband now, just like an engagement ring, her affection, also devotion to him. But now, if there was a gap missing, if one was missing, it was like your wedding ring or your engagement ring was gone. This gap shows her unfaithfulness now to her husband. Same thing today. Without Jesus Christ now in your life, you're just incomplete. You are incomplete. Let me tell you, it is not me speaking. It is Jesus Christ. A person without Jesus Christ is incomplete. They're not made as God wants to make them and make them all over again. Satan's plan is to make your life a disgrace. God's, rather than have his glory, he wants to make your life a disgrace. Jesus Christ answered their question again. Why do you keep company with these sinners? Why do you keep company with these sinners? And then he answered them, because of the weakness of man without God and the worthlessness of man without God. And then he comes on down to verse C. Because, you ever heard about that, the prodigal son? Because of the wretchedness of the lost son. Verse 11 and 12. And he said, now with this prodigal son, a certain man had 2 sons, and the youngest of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befall me, and divided unto him his living. Now here it is, his inheritance. The son says, now give me the inheritance. Now when do you really get your inheritance? When that father dies. This father was alive. So what he was telling his father, He says, I wish you was dead. I wish you was dead. I don't want you. I want what you have today. The same thing spiritually. People don't want God. They want what God's got. Air, breath, food, clothes, shelter, health. That they don't want God. Give me what you got, God. Hands off of my life. I'm not going to come. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to give you what you deserve, but I want what you have. I'll breathe your air. I'll eat your food. I'll walk on your green earth, but hands off of my life. This was the attitude of that young boy, the prodigal son. This was his attitude. I wish you was dead. I just wish you was dead, is what he's saying. Then we come in verse 13 and 18. Most of you know this story. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his subject with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to want and be in want. And when he joined himself to a citizen of that country and spent him into the field, sent him to the field to feed swine, and he would have fainted and have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants my father have enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father and will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. Well, this old boy tried it, so many people do today. They're looking for something in this world. They'll try everything but coming and worship Jesus Christ. Man, I'm going to tell you, they'll try everything they are. But I'll tell you one thing, there is depression when this happens. They will not come, they will not worship, they will not recognize God's Savior, they will not recognize that God needs the glory of mankind. They will not come. But you see, there always comes depression to that person, because there always a famine comes. There always comes a time in need for that person. Jesus Christ knows this. You see, no matter how much you have, it's always going to come to an end. No matter how much of this worldly things you try to gain without coming and worship and serving Jesus Christ, no matter how much you gain, you're always going to come up short, because it's going to vanish away. Everything we have in this life, you see, one of these days, that breath that you breathe, one of these days you're going to get where you can't breathe. And I'm going to tell you what, it might be your strength that you get where you can't walk. You know, it might be just your life itself. Beyond this story, there's just a greater spiritual story, and it means without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ this day, there is depression. There's a lot of people that's depressed today. They may have wealth, they may have health, they may have a lot of things, but they are very, very depressed, because they're trying to feel the need in their heart that God's put in their heart. There's no way to feel that need except through Jesus Christ today. Degradation sets in. The servant of this man says he's in a far country. Here's a person without Jesus Christ. Now he's feeding with the swine of the world. He's feeding on the things of this world. And I'm going to tell you, this world won't satisfy you. I don't care how big a house you have. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I don't care how much business you have. It don't matter what it is. You're not never going to be satisfied. It's going to come down to nothing. Vanity is vanity. It says all is vanity. It's going to come down to nothing. Degradation sets in. He becomes a slave. The person without Jesus Christ, he's out there feeding swine. Now, I know that you heard today a lot of times, or that person, that boy, that young, or that man, that lady, that whatever might say, that boy, that person, they just went to the dogs. You ever heard that? Well, in Jewish times, you say they just went to the swine, because a Jewish person would have no dealings with swine. All through the Old Testament, you see, he had no dealings with swine. This boy here was out feeding hogs. Been all right if he'd been feeding dogs, but not swine. You know, that was a degradation. That was bad to feed swine. But you see, this boy was out low as he could get feeding the old hogs. And then dissatisfaction sets in, verse 15 and 16 again. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. You know, he'd been feeding swine. And then you see, he was so hungry, he started eating a slop with a swine. You see, because he was hungry. And I want to tell you what, people are trying. They're trying their best to get away from God. They're trying their best to get away from the church. They're trying their best to get away from Jesus Christ, get him out of their life. I don't want no part of his life. But you see, there's a hunger. He tried it. This prodigal son tried it to get away. But no matter how far you try to get away, I'm going to tell you, there's still that hunger. There was a famine in his heart. He hungered. dissatisfaction of what he had. He groaned with hunger, and then got to thinking about how his father had so much. A spiritual hunger is only to be met by in the Father's house. I want to say you can do whatever you want to do, but if you get decided that you're going to come back and do what you need to do with Jesus Christ, there's going to be a hunger can't be met with nothing else in this world. It's only in Jesus Christ. A hunger today. You have been made for the very self-image of God. You're restless until you find rest in God, Jesus Christ, and that's all they are to it. But I want to tell you in just a few moments now about the saving nature of God in these three parts of this parable I've talked about. It's a business, you know, of the Father to restore and to bring back. And as we see this, the rescuing nature of the Son of Jesus Christ, he comes to rescue you. But then the revealing nature of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't be saved unless he reveals it to you. But then receiving nature of God the Father. Here's all in these three parables about God and the nature of God. Start, we find the seeking shepherd who sent after this lost sheep and went himself. Receiving nature of Jesus Christ the Son. Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. It gives us life for the sheep. And he says, also I have come as a good shepherd. Luke 9 and 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek that which was saved. And this is a faithful saying. This is worthy of all expectation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ, is he living in you? Now this is where it gets to you and I today. Is Jesus Christ living in you? Do you see people as this tells us here in this parable how you ought to see people? How they need Jesus Christ. This is my job. This is your job if you are born again child of God this day. Every person who's ever been saved have Jesus Christ in them, and they have a nature of Jesus Christ if they're saved. But the question is, and the test is, do you really have the nature of Jesus Christ? If you don't have the nature of Jesus Christ here this morning, you are not saved. You are not saved. If you don't see people as Jesus Christ, if you don't have this nature, you are not saved. And I didn't say that. That's the Bible. You're not saved. You have to have the nature of Jesus, that nature of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you this day. Do you have this? Is it living in you? Are you concerned about the lost? Do you see people as Jesus Christ sees the people today? The nature of Jesus Christ is reach out and rescue the lost. That's the nature of Jesus Christ today. And then you see we have the revealing nature of God the Spirit. I mean, Jesus Christ came from heaven. He came from heaven to seek you and to me. He saw me down on this earth, and he come to seek me. Why? Because I was like a sheep. Why? Because I was like a coin. Why? Because I was like a lost son. Jesus come to seek me. The Son of God come to seek and to save that should be saved. I was lost. I needed Savior. But then you see the revealing nature of the Holy Spirit of God. This woman was seeking this silver. In verse 8 it says, now this woman having 10 pieces of silver. She lost one. You know what she did? She lit a candle, and she began to sweep the house. This woman seeking this silver, this light, she lit a candle. This Lenten candle now, it represents the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, not only that, after Jesus Christ has found you and know where you at, you see, then the Holy Spirit of God's got to come to your heart and illuminate your heart. Without the illumination of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. Hear me. You cannot be saved unless the illumination of the Spirit of God lights your heart and lets you know of your sinful heart this day. It's not what you decide, what you think, what you feel. It's what Jesus Christ reveals through his word by the Holy Spirit of God, the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. That candle shines into your heart and gives you light to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. No one can be saved until they're under the conviction of the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't understand that, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't understand that, you're lost today. You got to be brought by the Holy Spirit of God. And then the stirring Spirit of God. Okay, you're here this morning and the Savior has sent you. You're here today. He's given you the reason for being here. Now the Holy Spirit of God, it begins to lighten your heart. He shows you, you know, the darkness of your heart. He lightens that heart. You're sitting on this pew today. The Holy Spirit of God is here, whether you believe it or not, and he's lightening that heart. He's showing you in your heart that you are a lost sinner. You believe about Jesus Christ. You have never received Jesus Christ, or your life will be changed. The Holy Spirit of God is revealing that to you, the darkness in your heart by the illumination of that Spirit of God. And then we find the stirring of the Spirit of God. It says she took a broom and she began to sweep the house. The stirring now, it disturbed things. She's moving things around. And the Spirit of God began to move you. You're not quite like you should be. You know, I know I ought to do this and I ought to do that. But he began to stir us and let you know, in your condition that you think you're pretty good. In condition, you think you got it made all right with God. In condition, you're doing what you ought to do. In condition, you're doing this and that and other. But the stirring of the Holy Spirit of God, it should be disturbing someone right here this day and disturbing them in a condition they're in a sinful nature they have today. And I'm going to tell you, they're moving things around. It's shining in that dark heart. It reveals the love of God has for you today. That's the revealing Spirit of Almighty God this day. And then we find not only that, we find not only the revealing of it, and then we find out the Father, nature of the Father, of the receiving nature. For 18, verse 18 through 24, when the Son found himself, the little prodigal son, I'm going back to my Father, I'm not worthy, I'll ask him, let me be a servant. I'm going back to my Father, and he begins to go home. Now, the nature of the Father is to receive. Here's the story. Now, this boy has done all this. He's tried his right as living. He had no part of church. This old boy don't have nothing to do with God. He's out with him. I take everything you got, God, but I tell you what, I'm not going to give my tithes. I'm not going to give my time. I'm not going to give my talent. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. I got other business. I'm too busy. I got to make a life. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? You got to make a life. You ain't got time to worship God. I'm going to tell you, you don't have time to make a life. You ain't got no time at all. Because you see, it's not the life that you need to make. It's serving Jesus Christ and worshiping him. You got time. Is everybody in here got the same amount of time in a day, have you not? Every one of us. It's your choice. This boy done all that as I did. And most of you did the same thing. Had no time for God. Me, I'm one of them. I thought I had to make a living. I had to make a life. I had to make a living. Yeah, but it weren't a thing in the world but excuses. It weren't nothing but excuses for this old boy. Until, you know what? Jesus Christ sought me as a lost sheep. The Holy Spirit illuminated my heart. The Holy Spirit stirred my heart. And then guess what? I said, I need to go home. I need to go home. Where's home at? Home is with the Father. Home is with the Father. So this boy, he says, I got to go home. I got to go home. I don't have nothing. See, all this time now we see the nature of the Father. Now the Father, you see, with quivering lips when he gave away his inheritance. Son, you want me to give it to you? You wish I was dead. You don't want to serve me. You don't want to be with me. And with quivering lips, I see the Father as he gives him his money. He gives him his inheritance. And he goes away in the brokenness of his father's heart. You see, in those years come, no father there was sitting there, no home place. I could just see that old house now, that old home place. And the father been waiting there in the mailbox. He walks down the lane every day. He looks and see if he hears from his boy as a letter comes in the mailbox. There's no letters. They have an old phone in that old house, but you see that phone never rings. That boy's not telling the father about anything. No word by letter, no word by phone. But then one day, you know, it's about supper time. It's getting close, time for supper. You know, father, you know, it's supper time, such a great time, out in old country time when it's supper time. Just about getting dark at supper time. You know, he says, I reckon I'm just going to have to eat one more meal without my son. You know, about that time, he looks down that road, and he sees somebody coming up that lane, about dusk dark. You see, there's something about the nature of your family that you know how they walk. You can recognize your father, you can recognize your mother, you can recognize your kids just by the way they walk. And he sees that man coming down that road, and he recognizes that walk. And that father says, that's my son coming down that road. That's my son. You know, the father, you know what? He just weren't able to go to an old age and weren't able to go very fast. But it says, you know, that he run. He run to meet his son. Now, this is an illustration of the Father God, and it's the onlyest time in the Bible that you'll ever find that God run. And I want to tell you this morning, I don't care how far that you're away from God, if you start down this lane, no matter where it's at, you'll find the Heavenly Father will run to meet you here today. He'll run to meet you. And the Father, he run to meet him down that old road. He said he bring the robe, bring the shoes, bring the ring. For my son were dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin to be merry. That's what the Father will do today. Again, does Jesus Christ live in you? Does Jesus Christ live in you today? Do you see this world through the eyes of Jesus? If you're sitting here this day in this building, I'm going to tell you the sinful nature of man, but there's a saving nature of God. Saving nature of God. God loves you so much. He gave his son for you. He sent the Spirit in you, and he welcomes you home as a father. As we come with a song of invitation this hour, I hope and I pray that I know that the Holy Spirit of God has done its work here today. But anybody wants to walk down this aisle, anybody wants to say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I have not lived. I'm not living like I should. I want to be saved. Anybody that's willing to step out, I'm going to tell you, you'll find the Heavenly Father to run and to meet you with arms wide open. With arms wide open as we stand and sing this song.